13 through 15. It says, Acts chapter 16, 13 through 15. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by the riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down. Of course, this would be the Apostle Paul. And we would he sat down and he spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple. Now, this is the first conversion that I want you to look at, is Lydia, the seller of purple. She was a businesswoman of some type. But in the text, what it shows you is you get to see her conversion. You get to see her get saved. And that's in here in the text. It says, a certain woman named Lydia, she was a seller of purple, sold purple dye. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us. Now, the first thing I want you to see, and I want you to get this in the text, it says whose heart the Lord opened. And I've always enjoyed pointing that out whenever you say it. You don't open your heart. You don't open your heart. God opens your heart. And God deserves the glory for the open heart. Before I was saved, before I was born again, beloved, I was dead in trespasses and sins. And what the Lord did in my life is He opened my heart. And in opening your heart, He opens your understanding. And I realized that I was a sinner and I was a lost man. And I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. But who gave me the opening for that was the Lord. The Lord opened my heart. Lydia's heart was opened by the Lord. Lydia's who, and as far as Jeff Arthur's concerned, that's who opened my heart. If you're here tonight and you're born again, He opens your heart too. So the glory for the open heart is the Lord. All God's people say it. So that's what He did. He's the one that did it. I didn't do it. I couldn't do that on my own. I couldn't do that on my own, and neither could you. You have to have your heart opened. And the only person that can open an old dead sinner's heart, the only person that can do that is the Spirit of God. And He'll open it. Sometimes when I go out and pray for people that are lost, I pray that the Lord would open their heart. Because if He opens their heart, there's going to be a change of life with regard to them. Their understanding will be different and things of that nature. So one of the things, if you got people in your family that is lost, what they need is they need their heart opened. They need their heart opened, and only the Spirit of God can do that. There was a day and a time in my life when God opened my heart. And when He did, I understood it. When He opens your heart, He opens your... When I'm talking about opening your heart, that means He opens your understanding. And that's what He does in the new birth. He opens your heart, and by doing that, He opens your understanding. And that's why you understood. So it's not because you're smarter than everybody else. It's because God seen fit, by His grace, to open your understanding. And that's what He did. And then I saw it. And then I what? Then I saw it. And I understood it. And I understood it, and I desired it. And that's the greatest thing a person can ever have. And that's what we seek for with regard to lost people. We want them to have an understanding of what salvation really, truly is. I mean, a lot of people don't understand about salvation. There's all kinds of people who don't understand about salvation. They seek to, through their deeds and their good works and all these different things, to earn salvation. You can't earn salvation. If it could have been that way, listen to me. If it could have been that way, it would have been that way. But it couldn't be that way. The only way a sinner person could be saved is by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He died on Calvary for our sins. He rose again the third day. And when you trust Him as your Savior and you ask Him to save you, He will give you everlasting life, and He could do it tonight, and He can do it. He can do it if you ask Him. Scripture says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So Lydia was a businesswoman. She was a seller of purple dye. She probably was could have been wealthy even, because those who dealt with purple dye, usually that was a very expensive place to be. You know, if you had that, then it was usually something that was very, very, very costly. So Lydia probably had a lot of money. She probably had a lot of money because she was a business woman. Now, her place where she lived at was Thyatira. And the only reason you probably would think about that is because it's one of the seven churches of Asia. You would remember it from there. You go back in the book of Revelations 2 or 3, and it'll talk about that particular church, Thyatira. And it was one of the churches of Asia. Okay? Now, what did the Lord do for her again? Whose heart the Lord opened. And that's what He did. Let me ask you a question. Can you open your own heart? No. Only God can do it. Only God can do it. Sometimes when I pray for lost people. Do y'all pray for lost people? I pray for them. And the reason why I pray for them is I realize that they can't save themselves. A lot of people think you can save yourself, but I don't think you can. I think the only way that you can be saved is through the power of the Spirit of God. I think He opens your heart and He opens your understanding. I think He does all of that at the same time. And when you do that, you see it and you trust Jesus as your Savior. And you understand what the gospel is. He died for us. He was buried and rose again the third day. That's how He saves a sinner person. And that's the only way you can be saved. And that's what people need to hear more than anything else, is they need to hear this blessed gospel message. Now, let's go back to Acts chapter 16. So Lydia, it says in the text, her heart, it says, whose heart the Lord opened. He opened her heart. And when He did that, that changed her entire world right there. When He opens your heart, to open your heart means to open your understanding. And when He does that, it changes the whole way that you live. All God's people see it. And it does. And God did that for me. And I believe everybody here tonight saved. I do. And that's what He did. That's what He did for all of us here. God opened my heart. God opened your heart. And that's why we're born again. And that's why we're saved. And that's why we're going to heaven. And you know who gets the glory for that? The one that opened my heart. Because if He hadn't opened my heart, I'd still be in my sin the way I was before. And that's what He did. That's what He did for me. Okay? Let's move on down. Verse 14. A certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple, businesswoman of the city of Thyatira, one of the seven churches of Asia, which worshiped God. What did she do? She worshiped God. Beloved, how often do you worship God? Now, we worship publicly, and we're here tonight, and we're worshiping God publicly. I do that. And I'm sure that you worship publicly as you sit and listen to the message, you know, or as we sing the songs of the faith. I think it's a wonderful thing that we all do. But we also, not only that, but we also must have private worship. Public worship, what we're doing now. But there's also private worship. I like to spend time with the Lord. I love to spend time with Him. Can't wait to sing, but I love to spend time with the Lord. I do. I like to read His book. Now, when I read, and I say, well, I study, but one of the reasons I do that is to keep me close to Jesus. Sometimes if you're not careful, and I tell this to young preachers all the time, if you're not careful, if you study the Bible just to find sermons, it'll fall down around you. I'll just take my advice. It'll fall down around you. What you got to do is you got to worship privately between you and your God. Stand close to Jesus that way. And when you do that, that keeps you close to the Lord, and you can find things better then. He'll show you things faster then. I think it's better to do it that way. So she was a lady that her heart was open, and she worshiped God. Now, isn't that a great blessing in the text? Whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended to the things which was spoken by Paul. That's what she was. Now, that's a good testimony to have in Scripture, isn't it? That's a good testimony to have, and that's what she had. Now, it says something else about her in verse 15. And what this what else she did, she was baptized. Her heart was open. It says she worshiped God. It says her heart was whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended to the things which were spoken by Paul. And then what happened? What did they do next? Then she was baptized. So all of that together is things you do after you're born again. How do you get born again? Well, you trust Christ as your Savior. You ask Him to save you. Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Shall be saved. Is that what the thief on the cross did, like we talked about the other day? He called on His name, and the Lord saved him that very moment. That quick, he trusted Christ as his Savior. And that's what, you look at all that it has here in the text. It says she was a seller of purple. She worshiped. Everybody see the word worshiped? I ask you a question. How much do you worship? Now, I worship two different ways. I have public worship, like I just mentioned to you, and I also have private worship. If you don't do both of them, you'll dry up. You got to do them both. Beloved, do you realize how blessed we are to have our own personal copy of this book, to use it every day of your life, to get in it and write things down? Think about what you read and all these kinds of things, and you watch how close you can get to Jesus when you do that. All God's people say it. You can get close to Him that way. If you don't get in God's Word and get in His book and get in His house and reading His book and all these things, man, you'll drift like crazy. You'll drift like crazy. One of the things I never wanted to do, didn't want to drift. I don't want to drift. I want to be where I need to be at all times. All God's people say it. I think it's important to do that. So let's get back to our text. Back to our Acts chapter 16, and work on down. Conversion number one is Lydia, the seller of purple. It says, who opened her heart again? Now, I want you to remember that. She didn't open her heart. The Lord opened her heart. So the glory for the open heart belongs to the Lord. It says that what else after her heart was opened, what else happened? She attended to the things which were spoken by Paul. Paul was a... Could you imagine listening to Paul preach? So... she attended to the things which were spoken of Paul. So they learned of Paul. Learned the Scriptures. Learned the Scriptures from a great preacher. And when she was baptized, you know what else did she do? Her heart was open. Her heart was open. She attended to the things which are spoken by Paul. Everybody got it? Listening to the scriptures. And then what did she do? She was baptized. Baptism. You know, really, baptism is just, it's, if you look at it, really, it's a Greek word. It really is. It means baptizo. It means to plunge, to dip, to immerse in water. So after her heart was open and she attended to the things of Paul, then what did she do? She minded the Lord in baptism. She minded the Lord in baptism. Not only did she, and when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, "If any have a judgment, or have judged me to be faithful," notice what she asked to do: "Come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. So, this conversion here was of Lydia, the seller of what? The seller of purple. Who opened her heart again? The Lord opened her heart. Now let's look on down to Paul and Silas imprisoned. Okay? Paul and Silas imprisoned. It came to pass as we went to prayer that certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination. She had a demon in her of some type, is what it's talking about, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. So they used this girl. It's a sad thing. They used this girl for her divination so that, they could take advantage of her. Verse 17, the same followed Paul and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. So this is what this woman was crying out. And Paul was grieved by it. That's what it says. It says, and this she did many days. That's what she would do. These are the servants of the Most High God that shows to you the way of salvation. That's what you just kept on saying. Kept on saying. And this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit. Do everybody see what word says spirit? Now, that's an unclean spirit. That's a demon. Is there such a thing as demons? Are they still here today? Absolutely. Yeah. People got to watch what they fool with, too, by the way. People got to watch what they fool with. There's truly, really demons out there. They're active here on the earth. They know God's people. They know God's people. One text in the book of Acts says, Paul we know, Peter we know, but who are you? And he jumped on, and this demon jumped on a person that tried to take the place of one of the preachers that weren't real. So it's a true deal, buddy. When you're talking about these kinds of things, it's a dangerous situation. Okay? So she was baptized in her household. You see that in Acts chapter 16. A certain woman named Lydia, she made purple dye, whose heart the Lord was open. Then she was what? She was baptized. Now this damsel that we've been talking about here in this text, she was in a very bad condition. And what happened in verse 19, there's chapter 16 and verse 19, and when her master saw that her hope of their gains were gone, so they made money off of her. That's what they basically did. And they drew them into the marketplace and they brought them to the magistrates, that these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. They called them troublemakers. You imagine calling Paul and Silas troublemakers? They were trying to help this afflicted woman. because of these things. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains were gone, she had some kind of power. She had some kind of power, but when she got with the prophets or the preacher here, they quit having that ability to use her, is what happened. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains were gone, see, they made money off this girl. They've made money off her, is what they did. And they brought them to the magistrates. They got mad at them, and these men, being Jews, do exceeding trouble our city. They called them what? Basically troublemakers. What were they trying to do? They was trying to help this poor old afflicted person. They didn't care about her. They didn't care about her. They didn't care about her soul. They didn't care about none of those things. They just cared about themselves. He said in verse 21, they teach customs which are not lawful to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them and the magistrates, and they rent off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charged them to the jailer to keep them safely. Poor old Paul. Paul and Silas. You just think about it. They cared for this girl. They cared about her soul. And now, notice what happens. Whoever received such a charge thrust him into the inner prison. See, the inner prison, what's the difference in an inner prison? You couldn't see nothing. It was pitch black. So they put them in what kind of prison? The inner prison. Inner prison, pitch black. Didn't see nothing. And they'd already been beaten. They'd already been beaten with whips. That's how they done him. Why did they do that? Because he helped somebody. Think about it. Because he helped somebody. That's why they did it. All right, stay with me now. At midnight, Paul and Silas, they prayed. How would you respond in such a situation? They just got through beating you, Eddie. Think about it. They just got through beating you. Put you in stocks. Couldn't move. Not because of any sin that you did. That's what he went through in this particular text. Here's what really gets me. How they responded. How did they respond to their situation? Man, I don't know. I'd probably been mad. I'd probably kicked something over. I'd probably said, if I get one hand loose, I'll knock you plumb out. I mean, it's hard to tell what I'd have said because, you know, we get prone to temper at times. Y'all agree? I think that's what this was. I want you to watch what the preachers did. Paul and Silas, I want you to watch what these missionary men did, how they acted. Beloved, God's people should act right. Y'all agree? God's people should act right. I really think so. And watch this now. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. What did they do? They prayed. That's what they did. They responded to their situation with prayer. And it looks to me like that's the first thing they did. First thing they did was get in touch with the king. That's what they did. They got in touch with the king first thing. Many times people don't talk to the king till, you know, weeks later. So Paul and Silas prayed and they sang praises to God. Not only did they pray, but they sang. You know what they're in? They're in stocks. They were in stocks. Well, how did they respond to this horrible situation? They prayed and sang praises. What? Were they crazy people? No. You know what I think? I think they believed that God had it. Ain't no use to worry about it if God's got it. God's still on his throne. God's still in control. I just think he felt that God was, you know, wherever he was at right now was just exactly where God wanted him to be. And I believe that's the truth, don't you? I think he was in a place where God wanted him to be. Yeah, boy. I think that's exactly what it was. All right, let's read on. Let's go down to verse 25. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. What did they do? At midnight, it was midnight, it's the midnight hour. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. I think the prisoners probably thought there's something big getting ready to happen. These men were praying. These men were singing praises in a jail cell, not knowing whether they live or die. But they could still serve Jesus, couldn't they? They could, couldn't they? Couldn't they still serve Jesus? They could still pray, and they could still sing. And that's what they did. And guess what? Look at the testimony. All the prisoners heard them. All of them heard them. Wow. I stand amazed at that, don't you? I mean, we whine over everything. I'll just be honest with you. We whine over everything. And this little thing just sets everybody to kilter. Man, oh man. God does great things for his people. And he gives us strength to hold up and serve in this old world. All God's people say it. All right. Let me read on. I'm going to try to knock this out if I can. Okay. All right. Verse 25. Midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praise. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken. The doors flew open. Can you imagine? And the keeper of the prison awaking out of his... This poor old keeper of the prison, it must have wore him out. I mean, really, if your prisoner escaped, you know what happened, right? They killed him. So here he looks, and the doors are open. And he's looking around, but you know what happened? Do y'all remember what happened? Nobody left. Nobody left. I guess everybody thought something big was getting ready to happen. I guess they were right, too. Man, I like it. It says the keeper of the prison woke Alvy's sleep. Now, I bet he was a horrible man, this keeper of the prison, because they were mean to they were usually mean to their prisoners. They didn't treat them good. They'd throw them down and they wouldn't feed them, and they'd do all these different kinds of things. So the keeper of the prison, when he saw there was nobody there, you know what he got ready to do? Y'all remember? What did he get ready to do? He got ready to stab himself. Boom! He was going to get it over with quick. Because he knew if my prisoners got away, then he's going to be the next one that goes down. That's what it was going to be. Okay. So verse 27, 16, verse 27, and the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep, he saw the prison doors were open. And he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm. We're still here." Nobody left. Think about it. Nobody left. Everybody was there. Then he called. Here's what he does. He calls for light. He sprang in. He came trembling. He was tore all to pieces. He's seen an earthquake. He's seen the jails open up. He's seen all of that, yet the prisoners were still there. I mean, this was a big deal going on. Hey, this was a big deal going on right here. Okay? So he calls for a light, and he sprang in, and he came in, this old jailer, he came in, and he said this, "Sirs," the only place in the Bible specifically said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Just as clear as crystal. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, here's what Paul and Silas said. They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and your house." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and your house. You believe he'll save you? Your house believes? He'll save them too. All God's people say it. That's a great thing, man. Getting too windy. What do you want most for your children? What do you want most for your family? I want them to have eternal life. I want them to spend forever with me. I want them to go up. I want to spend forever together. That's what I want. That's why we witness. That's why we tell people about Christ. Okay, just about done. And he took them the same hour of the night. This poor old guy, he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says he took him the same hour of the night. It was nighttime. And I guess he knew eventually they was going to find out that the prisoners were still all going, you know. But they never left. The doors was open. That's what I want you to get. But they never left. And it says, and they took them that same hour of the night, and they washed their stripes and was baptized. They baptized this man. Baptized he and all his straightway. And when they brought them into the house, they set before them, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. All God's people say it. Beloved, I love that text. And when you look at Lydia, and you look at the conversion of the jailer, you can just see how great salvation is. Nothing's impossible for the Lord. Let me say it, nothing's impossible for the Lord. I mean, when you first went into this text and you start looking at it, I thought, man, this looks hopeless for everybody there. No, it wasn't. God's always in control, even when things look out of control. All God's people say it. Let's all stand. We'll close with a word of prayer. Thank you for your attention this evening.